Hi, welcome back to A Nugget of Truth. In the last several posts, we focused on the gift of grace of the Father. That gift, of course, is Jesus. Then we looked at the gift of grace of Jesus. And the gift, of course, is the Holy Spirit. We're now going to look at one more important area in which Jesus gave us gifts. The final gift of Jesus is meant for the church. Now, it's important to distinguish between the physical church and the spiritual church. The physical church would encompass church buildings and holdings, as well as denominations and groups. And of course, there are many of those. However, there is only one spiritual church. The spiritual church is made up of all believers around the world who are born again, otherwise known as the body of Christ. As Jesus is now the spiritual head, so his body, that's us, is spiritual as well. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, the Apostle Paul says, "And he," meaning Jesus, "put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." You see, spiritually speaking, we are the body and Jesus is the head. So where the head goes, the body will follow. The gifts of grace of God are for the body of believers. As important as physical churches and organizations are, they are not what Jesus died for. You see, Jesus died for you and for me. He died for people. The original word for the church in the New Testament is the Greek word ekklesia, or called out ones. Those who have been called out of the world into the kingdom of God, the spiritual church on earth. Now, Jesus empowered the church with spiritual leaders to lead the way. In Ephesians 4:11, it says the following, "And he himself," again speaking of Jesus, "gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." Now, these five gifts are often referred to as the fivefold ministry gifts. Now, let's take a very brief look at each one of these gifts to the church. First of all, we have apostles. They're the ambassadors of the gospel. Officially, they're commissioned by Christ and often operate with miraculous powers as well. They also can be defined as messengers or one that is sent. So apostles go to new places to establish the body of Christ, to ensure that churches are operating under correct doctrines or teachings. You know, I think of missionaries. They're a good example of those who are sent to establish a work in foreign lands. The second group we want to look at, of course, are the prophets. And prophets are our forth tellers, not fortune tellers. In other words, they are inspired speakers. God speaks to them, and so they represent God in what he is saying to the church. A prophet speaks forth what Christ is saying to the church for today. A prophet encourages, edifies, and exhorts the body of Christ. The third group, of course, are the evangelists, and they are preachers of the gospel, the good news. The gift of the evangelist is to produce new converts with the simple message of the gospel of Jesus, the message of love, forgiveness, and acceptance. Fourth, we have pastors, and the word literally means they're shepherds, or those that are responsible for the care and the health of the body of Christ. And then finally, we have the teachers, who are the instructors, who teach the truths of the Bible, teach the truths about Jesus Christ. And remember that all of these people are called by God to equip or prepare the saints, that's us, to do the work of the ministry. Now, all of this is revealed in more detail as you read Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16. Now, let me take a moment to talk about a sensitive issue regarding leaders in the church. It's easy to put leaders on a pedestal and then to be so disappointed when they don't live up to expectations. But always keep in mind that ministers are human just like every other believer. They are still working through their own weaknesses and shortcomings, as all believers do. Now, even though they may be anointed or gifted by God. You see, God does not call those who are equipped to do ministry, but he equips those whom he calls to ministry. This means that God is working through the Holy Spirit in bringing to maturity every leader as well. Think of the greatest of the apostles. Think of the apostle Peter. And what you'll see is a record of failures and disappointments that he experienced before becoming the leader that God called him to be. Now the unbeliever looks at these lapses in Christian leadership and he cries out, "You see, they're all hypocrites." However, those who are mature understand that all of us, including the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and pastors and teachers, they're all works in progress. While it's true that the fivefold ministry leaders are held to a higher standard by God, that's James 3:1, it's important for us as believers not to judge too quickly. Now, having said that, we should obviously avoid those who preach false doctrines or practice immorality. Because as the Bible says, there are those who are dressed as sheep, but are in reality wolves. And that's Matthew 7:15. And so until I see you the next time, at which point we will be talking about the gift that the Holy Spirit brings to each one of us and makes available to us. So God bless you. See you next time.